Evening, Council. Thanks for your attendance. We'll start the meeting. We'll open the meeting up, and we have the, as you're all aware of, is we are webcasting. And so please note that today's meeting, other than the confidential sessions, are being recorded and will be placed on Council's website. All in attendance should refrain from making defamatory statements. Council takes all care when maintaining privacy. However, members of the public gallery and those addressing council should be aware that you may be recorded. Thank you. And we have the acknowledgement of country. And Megan, I believe you've got the job today. Thank you.
Lachlan Shire Council acknowledges the Wurundjeri people as traditional custodians of this land. We recognise their strength and resilience and pay respect to elders past, present and emerging, and to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders people who are part of this Lachlan Shire community.
Thank you, Megan. If we acknowledge Mr. up there yet, I was not going to do it.
We're doing nothing for you. You can walk in if you want.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lisa, can you hear us?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Chip, listen, welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah. Item three, apologies and request for leave of absence.
Okay, can I ask for a leave of absence for next next meeting? Please, please.
You want to vote on that? Okay, we know of another couple. Is anybody else? We know of Judy.
Dennis?
Dennis for today.
They both requested leave of absence.
Yes. Both have requested leave of absence. All in favour?
Mover.
Second. Oh, sorry. Mover and a second. Seconder. Okay. Robin and Melissa. All in favour?
Yep.
Passed. Confirmation amounts. Section four, councillors. Confirmation of minutes. Can we have a mover and a second? Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Megan. Any discussion? All in favour?
Aye.
Everybody's in favour? All. Back up, mate. Crown Reserve for Adrian later. Councillors up to page 73, 5.1, Mayoral Minute, Meeting and Functions.
Mr. Mayor, do we have to do the extraordinary meeting as a separate law?
Well, Johnny, I will pass that on to the general manager.
Yes, we do. Thanks.
And he said, thank you very much. Proceed to do so.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favour?
Aye.
All right. Let the clock be ready. No, I'll just take a little minute, councillors. Okay. Councillors, page 23, back to 5.1, Mayoral Minute, Meeting and Function. To move in a second, please.
I'll move.
Robin and Peter. Any discussion on those events we've attended?
Two questions, if I may, Mr. Mayor.
Certainly.
One on the, how did the renaming of the Sandy Creek Crossing go? And also how did the centenary flight event with CWA? How did that pan out?
Answer that for me.
Yep.
I'll pass it on to the general manager, Peter.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. The Sandy Creek Crossing, Gary Mooney Crossing, was well attended. I didn't count the numbers, but I would suspect there was probably 30 people there. It was a nice function. Shame the weather was as bad as it was, but it was plenty of mud, but it was a nice function. There were a number of speakers who spoke very fondly of Gary and his work in the Shire. and gratitude was passed on for council's attendance. The CWA plaque unveiling was a similar event, not quite as many people, but there was good representation from the different CWA groups around the Shire. Pat Hurley spoke about the project and acknowledged the delays in it in reaching the point of having the plaque actually mounted and the ceremony recorded. And they were also appreciative of the support shown by council. And there was a morning tea provided at the senior citizen rooms.
Yeah, through Mr. Mayor, follow up on what Greg said there about the Moon, especially the Moon and Crossy, 40 k's out. I'll start that for a start because it was raining and we got out there, and I know that they had a pretty good set up there too for the one day was sort of like a picnic and that sort of thing. So we're all under umbrellas and whatever, but and I think the family were very appreciative of us all being out there. Melissa was, and very good. Yeah, like it's just hard to believe that the crossing, how big that crossing is out there. So Desmond Waring said to me, he said, well, it must rain here sometime, quite a lot of the size of the crossing. But I think the family were very, very, very appreciative of coming through, and especially to our engineering department and to Charisse for their little organisation out there with connecting with the family. And I think that went off well. You know, patience is a virtue when it comes to a lot of these things. And the CWA was, well, that came up in my term, and I was very pleased to be able to unveil that plaque because they've been over 100 years that they. Yeah, I've been servicing these communities and they've done a lot of good work and socially keeping people together and advocating on behalf of a lot of the communities around our Shire. And the morning tea at the senior citizens was very nice with the tablecloths and the beautiful china. It was lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, cheers, Johnny. Well, as you all know as well, while we're on that, Mayoral Minute, Greg and I both attended the CMA at Forbes. There's a lot of business come out of that and... it's remarkable when you're in the right place at the right time. They're doing multi-million dollar worth of works in residential areas, nursing facilities. And the bulk of the land they're doing all this on over in Forbes, I'd call it what, the Northwest?
Yeah.
It was given to them for a dollar of the Catholic Archbishop, I guess, and Canberra Goulburn Diocese. So all that land for a dollar. And imagine what they're doing with it. It's absolutely, it's where they look, it's where they run around. The dairy was just opened my eyes, it blew me away how the facilities there to operate and work, the amount of people they got working there. I've got to compliment Phyllis on her hospitality. On a wonderful ship, they left nothing to chance. And I'd probably like to say thank you to Phyllis and the Bookshire Council. Would you appreciate it? Yeah, probably. And 15.4.2024, that's the date. Greg went over this in my place, the Community Safety Precinct Meeting in Forbes, which is a gathering of all general managers, mayors and police. So you can imagine what that discussion was about. Ended up not enough police, more police leaving than there is joining. Phil Donato, we had a yarn to Phil Donato at Forbes, and he was telling me that... there was 16 weeks for a constable to go into the Goulburn. It's now back to 12 weeks, and it's $90,000 since they come out. So which means any other kid who wants a trade, they can't match that sort of money. So that's how hard they're trying to get new police in New South Wales. So a lot of money for a 19, 20-year-old kid, $90,000 after 12 weeks.
Can I just make a couple of other comments?
Yeah, just one point there I'll make. And the police union office was down there as well, and he suggested, while that sounds absolutely wonderful and terrific, he would suggest that if you have a child, a grandchildren or whatever, he would say, please do not join the police as soon as you leave school. He says, get out in life, experience life a little bit further, maybe another trade, because it's a pretty hostile environment for a kid being a policeman at that age. Yeah, go for it.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple of other things that came out of that community safety meeting. There's a new inspector in Forbes, replaced Shane Jessop, and his name is Adam Baird, and it was Adam's first meeting. He was the only police representative there. Interestingly, he said that police numbers across the state are down by 30%. They're unable to attract recruits. I spoke about our previous request for Condobolin to be classified as special remote for appointment. By that classification, officers who come to work here would get credit to move to a more attractive location in the future, somewhere on the coast. He said that stations like Coffs Harbour and Port Macquarie are carrying vacancies that they can't fill at the moment and give any benefit to us in having that classification change. So once again, it's right across all industries where these staff shortages are, and the police are no exception.
Any questions on the above? Okay, well, we've got a mover and a second. All in favour?
Aye.
Passed.
Aye.
Page 24, public forum. We have no. Kerry, see. We have no public forum.
No. Notices of interest. Disclosure of interest.
Sorry, Greg. Councillors, do any of you have any disclosure of interest for the program going forward? No disclosures? Last. Yep. Reading note 25, 8.1, development data. Yes. I'd like to move that as a block. I'd like a move and a second and first. And if you want to
move that, I'll move the block.
So you'll second move it, and Johnny will second it as a block.
Someone's got something else.
8.1 to 8.8, are you all happy with that? One more time. No one's saying anything. 8.1 to 8.8. Are you all happy?
Yeah.
All nothing.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. All happy. Passed and continuing on. All in favour?
Aye.
Yep.
Yep. All enthusiastic today, Irina. 8.8. Yep.
Sorry, 62 is the first report.
Okay. 9.1, general manager, and the first report is 62. Can we have a mover and a seconder, please?
The way.
Thank you, Peter. Seconder.
Second. Oh.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Greg.
It's Karen's report this one.
Oh, the general manager. Karen, would you please continue with the report? Corporate and community service policy review of related parties' disclosures.
Excuse me, Councillor Harris.
Please.
Harris, can you turn off your microphone, button, please?
You're alive.
Someone to pick me up on it.
Yeah.
Karen, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got this is something that councillors will have seen most years. It's just your related party policy. We provide those forms about twice a year for councillors to fill out. And so all we've done is the policy was out of date. So we've just updated it, almost no change to it. Does anyone have any concerns or questions they'd like?
Okay. Questions? All in favour?
Aye.
Aaron, thank you again. 9.2.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. So this is our monthly community donation and event support a program. Our current funding round has closed, but some of these were actually needed prior to the funding round closing. So we've put them up to council for this meeting. So we're looking for council to provide some direction on sponsorship for the Lake Cajeligo Tigers Australian Football and Netball Club, and they're having speed cheer event. Just looking for some guidance from council. They have a sponsorship package and the amounts available as per the report. And council can give them any amount, but they've suggested, so they've given us some sponsorship packages, which bronze 200, silver 500, gold 1,000, or platinum $2,000. So we have supported these in this group in under different, slightly different names previously, but just looking for direction on council on how much they would like to provide for this event.
Out there for you, councillors, what do you think? Bronze, silver, gold?
I'm happy with silver. That's 500, isn't it?
When was the ball? The ball was not even 12 months ago, was it?
It would have been 12 months ago, unless it would have been last season, yes.
It was last season, because that was quite a bit of money, wasn't it?
Yes, indeed it was, and I think it was success. So they would have made a few bob too, I would assume.
Yeah. Councillor Rees, through the Mayor, in May 23, Council donated $1,000 for their event, so their event must have been around that time.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just trying to load the attachment document on my computer here. I can't read the attachments just yet.
I'll move that we donate 500.
Hang on. We've forgotten who moved it and who seconded it.
No one did. I'll move him.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Melissa.
Is it me?
Yeah. Find your attachments, Melissa.
Oh, yeah, it's just downloading. It's just taking a bit. Oh. That's okay.
Anyone else have an opinion?
We were saying $1,000 last time. That was because of the ball and everything else. And this is not a similar type thing, though, is it?
So how are they going to make money if it's free entry to the event? Is that off the entry fees to the shearers?
Yes, sir, I don't have that information. Do you, Karen?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Rees, yes, on the back of their application form, so the funding application form, Part C, they've received $2,000 worth of donations of products and $5,000. They've secured another $3,000 worth of cash donations. They're also seeking $2,000 cash donations, which are unsupported as yet. They have provided a little bit of information. They expect that the income will cover any shortfalls and the rest will go towards fundraising for the club. They're expecting $5,000 from a raffle, $2,000 from a speed share entries, a barbecue, $1,500, and cricket fundraiser, $1,500. So that would be the income, and there will be costs to come out of that.
Discussion? Okay, I'll grab $500 up.
Oh, you got a seconder for that?
I have no seconders for that.
I have now.
So Melissa moved it. Johnny seconded it. That's $500 donation to the, I think it was Aussie Rules Club.
We'll get our usual exposure out of that.
Yeah, it says there you'll get, it says you get two seats, two VIP seats. You get to speak at the event. You'll have a logo on promotional material, exclusive social media posts and free entry into. It says free entry into the event, but up the top it says it's free entry anyway.
So it's free. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it sounds like a cool idea.
Righto.
Yep.
No further discussion. Are you all in favour?
Aye.
Okay. Pass, Greg.
The other two.
I'll move.
Yep.
Dot three and dot four to be as written in the report.
Have a second for that.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Megan. No discussion? All in favour then?
Aye.
Passed. Okay. 67?
Yep.
67 councillors, 9.3 environment and planning. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I'll move the recommendation.
I'll second it.
No, I'm kidding there now. Peter and Johnny, mover and second it. Now you're on, Patrick.
All good.
Yeah, you're on, mate.
You're on, mate.
There it is.
We're going
to go. Hard to see from this side. All good. You would have seen the local housing strategy. We've discussed it a couple of times now. It's been on public consultation until February of this year. It's certainly a good document to give some guidance into some of the measures that need to be done to address housing and the issues surrounding it in within the Shire. And between the versions that were put up for public consultation and the last version, there were only very
minor changes of shifting some chapters around and just updating some of the numbers. But very happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Questions for Patrick? Patrick, I have one. Coming out of this Forbes week, a fair bit of discussion on those small homes.
Yes.
Whether they're classified as caravan, whether they're classified as removable. What is your point in a small home? You can reference to that, maybe a granny flat or temporary home. How are they put on a quarter acre block, or are they allowed, are they not allowed? Can you give us a little bit of a spool on that, please?
Yes, certainly, Mr. Mayor. Look, there are specific provisions in place within the local environmental plan for that. And there is a variety of use definitions that they might fall under. So there's quite some flexibility in there. Also, within the local housing strategy, we are potentially looking at lowering some of the minimum lot sizes for different areas. So that would accommodate smaller houses, certainly, as well. It will be quite a bit of a longer process, and it's probably not happening in a hurry, because there's quite a bit of things that need to come together in order for that to be achieved. But there is a raft of measures already in the strategy to accommodate that. And it also takes into consideration that we certainly have, or one of the key findings of this, and that's across the board, is that household sizes are certainly getting smaller as well, and that needs to be catered for.
Any follow-up for Patrick on that one? Any further questions?
I've got one, but I'm not sure whether it's...
Try it.
It might sound silly, sorry. I'll just talk.
Patrick, you can switch
it. Just with the housing strategy, I understand it's trying to provide more houses, but the state government a little while ago said that caravans can no longer be put on these blocks. Does that take that into account, like in this strategy, or is that a different strategy? Like, I'm just trying to see if it covers it, that's all, because it's changed now. You can't have caravans on a housing block for any more than a certain period of time.
Through the mayor, so certainly this, it takes us into consideration to a certain degree, not to that detail, but there is mention of that as a matter of fact to that it has to be addressed. Yes.
Patrick, I just have Councillor Peter.
Mr. Mayor, just a more of a comment on this housing strategy. It confuses me greatly with what's going on with the state government and the way that they're seemingly approaching the housing crisis in the bigger city areas. They seem to be not a lot of answers, except for, you know, when the other day they started talking about increasing heights of buildings to go up to provide more space that way. Not a lot of mention about how they're going to provide the infrastructure in and around all that, with schools and hospitals and playgrounds, where all that's going to come from. The other thing is, you know, converting commercial office space into potential residential. And, you know, some of those buildings are obviously suitable, but a lot are not. Once again, you're creating, you know, there's going to be shortages of the infrastructure necessary for the residential component in the residential areas. It just doesn't seem to be a lot on offer, and it just doesn't seem to be any real direction as far as trying to put population out into the regional areas. It just seems to be focused in on this, keeping them in the city. It's where they want to stay. But, you know, with technology now, we've got the capacity, and COVID showed it, that people can work from virtually anywhere as long as they've got a reasonable internet. And it just doesn't seem to be happening at the moment. It's just this ongoing lack of any sort of regionalisation.
I might quickly address that through the chair. Thank you, Councillor Harris. It's certainly a valid point. Just a couple of comments also just relating to that for the scale of Loughlinshire Council. The housing strategy clearly acknowledges that the main housing product within the Shire are detached houses. So that is just the vast bulk of all of the houses that are within the local government area. And it's not proposed to change that, and that's why I mentioned it. It's not going to see a lot of change over the coming years. it's simply also what is able to be put here, what builders we have available to build. So you wouldn't even get a builder here to build an apartment block, quite simply. So it is just for the scale of that is appropriate for this area and what is already here. Interestingly enough, the local environmental plan and all the other the development control plans do allow for a lot of flexibility already. So if someone wanted to build something of a higher density, that is achievable within the current framework already. It, for example, having a shop on the ground floor and having a flat above the shop, those things are already allowable under the local environmental plan. So there is a lot of flexibility already built in, but at the moment there's not really any demand for that kind of product. And so this caters for the fact that in the foreseeable future, at this stage, it will be still detached housing as the main product going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I'd like to follow that up, Patrick, if I may. I was very impressed with these small homes. Very impressed. Basically, simply because the cost of living, cost of building and the cost of material, and the cost of land, I think these are a feasible home to get hold of. My problem being, because they're generally zinc loom, is it comes up with RV value for basics. I've found basics very hard to comply with over the years. So you've got the RV value, so it's insulation, isolation, possibly even 4 mil, 5 mil windows. I don't know, but do you know or do you have any idea how you get through basics one of those small homes?
Look, I haven't got any of the details. I can certainly take that on notice. However, there are products out there that meet different criteria for different climatic zones. So that is certainly the case. Obviously, if you want more insulation, that costs extra, and that wouldn't be quite the base model. But there are even some that can be put into high wind areas and so forth. So there's certainly a lot of products out there, yes.
Right, Patrick. Patrick, thank you. Any further questions?
Yeah, can I just...
Thank you, Johnny.
Please. Yeah, I totally agree with Peter with the state government and the planning of trying to make populations out across the mountain. For a start, we can't get a road across the mountain to get them out of it for a start. It's always closed. But within this area around here, though, with the RU5 and the R5, it's the flexibility of all that. Yeah, and I'll just take Tottenham as an example because it's just about surrounded, because they've got small blocks and that sort of thing. But, for extra village and that sort of thing, to get that change, to get people, it doesn't give them any incentive to want to do it, because you've got with the planning and that sort of thing, you've got to go through for it to happen. So it all takes time. And I think that's one of the issues is it's a time factor where people usually when they think of something they want to do, they want to do it. They don't want to go through 25 departments, to make sure that, to get things changed, to make things happen. A good example up there is one block where it was a mechanical business. He's been going through there for the last, I think, 5 years and still hasn't come to an end. So, if anybody else is putting something up or wanting to house up, and not see, even our industrial land and that sort of thing within Tottenham, that's still, could change somewhere down the track and that sort of thing. But, we haven't attracted anybody yet. But, it was Lake Angelico, what's happening in Lake Angelico on the northern side there, it's not happening quick enough to give people, the incentive to go on because every day we're a day older and, sometimes we lose enthusiasm of wanting to do these things. So, it's good that we are doing a strategy. We've got to start somewhere and it's following it up and letting people know. And they give them incentive to make that sort of progress because you can do anything in this world today. You've got to get people like the cluster. That's one of the hardest things, especially in the city and that sort of thing. All the ethnic people, they're all in groups. They're not really right through the population and that sort of thing. So you're not getting enough to sort of want to come out here and sort of start something. Even though in Condobolin, we're pretty lucky with the Filipinos, how many of those we've got in Condobolin, which is absolutely fantastic. But you've got to have something, you've got to have a driver there for that to happen. But I congratulate you on the strategy. getting it out there. I am a little bit disappointed we haven't got a lot more feedback, you know, from the community, but I think we're finding that hard with most things.
I won't get that, Johnny, till you put a DA in. Don't know which,
when you find out.
Any further discussion? The questions for Patrick. Further discussions? All in favour then?
Aye.
Aye, thank you. We'll move on. Page 73. Okay, folks, 9.4, infrastructure services. We're over to 8.
Move a second.
Yes, I'm just coming to that. A mover and a seconder.
Move the recommendation, Mr.
Michelle Pete. Thank you for Peter. And we have a seconder. Johnny, thank you, H.
Mr. Mayor, this, in some ways, it's a bit of a disappointing report, as it's a change to what's been happening in the past, but the realities of the R2 requirements, which we are being forced to move up to, presents us with some difficulties with our current resources and our current workflow and work demand. So the board is to council to discuss potential of terminating the contract we have with Transport for New South Wales and, handing back the maintenance requirements of that section of road back to them as written.
Anybody got any questions? We're directed to Adrian. Ree, use just last few comments.
So where are we at now? Yeah, look, I think we basically talked about maybe giving it back and then taking it up again later. But when, you know, like, because it comes down to the skill and, you know, training and everything else that goes with it. You know, like, we know with our workforce at the moment, which we're battling with, you know, like, is there any more information from what we've last council meeting?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, through you, the it was briefly discussed after the last council meeting what the chamber was feeling towards this. The realities are that there's substantial administrative requirements in order to reach the pre-qualification requirements and in order for us to undertake essentially guideposting and slashing is 25 kilometres of road. There's not a lot of work and a lot of admin. And it would that was raised with Transport, and they acknowledge that, but they're holding us to that requirement. So I would not want us to necessarily create the decision now, which will forevermore be held against this council. That's certainly something I don't want. So I wanted to reiterate to Transport that if we were to go down the path of terminating the contract, I wanted to make sure there was opportunities further on down the track for us to pick it up again when our resourcing was at a better place. They reassured me that this will not be held against us. It won't be a black mark against us. They acknowledge the situation that we're in. But they still are holding us to this R2 qualification standard. So they will, if they haven't already, start discussions with other service providers to fill the void. And at the moment, we're working towards a end of June wrapping up of our obligations, and then the new service provider will be July 1.
Are they having issues?
Just before I ask you to comment, I'll ask Greg to make comment.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just at the risk of stating the obvious, one of the difficulties we have is that it's only 25, 27 kilometres of road, and a council with a greater length of state road to maintain can spread those administrative costs over that longer length. And while Transport for New South Wales recently suggests to us that they don't benchmark costs between councils, in fact, they do, and they come back and they put pressure on you to reduce your costs and be more competitive, and Council A can do it cheaper than Council B, and we won't have sufficient scope of work to be cost competitive in that environment, which will also disadvantage us for when they start doing those analysis.
Thank you, Greg. Now, Johnny,
I was just going to ask. I fully support what Adrian's coming from and that sort of thing. Are they having the same problem with the workforce? Yeah, like they got to go out to tender to fill in the void. Have they got the same issue?
Mr. Mayor, through you, they've indicated they'll approach neighbouring councils to fill the void, more so than a independent private contractor.
So like Parks?
Or Forbes.
Forbes.
Yep. And in discussions with Forbes in particular, I haven't had the same discussion with Parks, but Forbes indicated that it would not be a tremendous burden for them to do an extra 25 kilometres of road, but they wanted to reiterate they don't want to be in any way seem predatory or taking over country or coming in on our land or anything like that. They wanted to make sure that this council understands that providing a service and trying to help the community get better roads.
So I suppose just to back that up with Forbes and especially Parks as well, you know, the amount of road they've got, state road and everything else that goes with it, like an extra 20, it's just said, 26 kilometres not going to make much difference. And they are our neighbouring councils. We should be working with them anyway.
Yep.
So.
And Mr. Mayor, Forbes have to have the pre-qualification because they do the maintenance on the Newell Highway through their shire as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Thank you. So we need to, you still need to talk to Parks, I suppose. To...
Not up to us.
It's not our discussion.
All right. Yes, Melissa?
Sure, I've just got a question. So if we hand it over, what's the guarantee that it gets maintained to the standard that it's maintained to now? Well, we don't have a say over that, obviously.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it'll be up to Transport to enforce the maintenance requirements are being met. They set the maintenance regime and they do all the heavy patching and the resealing program. It'll be theirs to manage.
Just a follow-up. So if there's like a pothole or a hole or a defect in that road, they don't come to us anymore to make the complaint. They have to go to Forbes if they're doing it, or does it Traffic News out, whatever it is? How do they report stuff that's happening on the road if we're not in control of it?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, that's highlighted in the risks in the report that the community will continue to come to us and demand that we fix roads that we're not the road authority for and we don't have an obligation to fix. So that's something that we'll just have to educate the community to that it's no longer our responsibility to maintain that road.
And we'll also provide customer service in passing the request on. But in answer to the first part of your question, the current level of service that's carried out on that road is set for us by Transport for New South Wales. We're not doing any more than what they're instructing us to do.
So technically it should be maintained to the same standard.
Yes.
Let the contract go.
Yep.
In theory.
Simply means that somebody else is doing what we were doing.
Yeah, no, I was just concerned that if a road user on our end discovered a problem, that obviously we're not responsible for it anymore. How do they report it? How do they get it fixed, basically?
You might recall back in 2022 during the flood events, the pavement failures just this side of Uther. We were getting the blame for that because people don't understand where the local government boundaries are.
Peter?
So my understanding is, once we let this go, then they'll Transport New South Wales find a new service provider for the roads, whether it be at Forbes or Parks. But once they do that, are they then say for example, Forbes? I guess are they awarded a 2 or 3 year contract period, fixed contract period?
Yes.
So then basically we've got to wait then till that if we want to get the R2 qualification, R2D2 qualification. We've got to wait till that contract period's finished up and then we go through the processes and of applying back through that process with Transport New South Wales. Okay. The other thing I was wondering, is it still in the processes? A few years ago, they were going through a situation where they were looking at roads, whether the Transport New South Wales was going to reacquire or acquire certain roads reclassify them into regional or state roads. Is that still in the pipeline, or has that been absolutely scrapped?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'll point councillors to the third paragraph in the issues and comments section. It's the report from the panel on that topic has been with the minister since the 8th of November 2022, and there's been no word since then on a positive or a negative light. So draw what conclusions you might from that. That's 18 months.
And it's highly likely that the changes will be made. Any changes that are made are more likely to be to the east, where they've got higher traffic volumes and more freight than what we experience in our shire.
Okay.
So just a follow-up question. The R2 qualification, is this the only section of road that that's under? Like, or are there other roads in our shire that we need this for?
Okay. Any further questions, councillors? Melissa, you still with us and here? Is that okay? Have any questions?
Yeah, yeah. No, no, that makes clear? Sense.
Yeah, okay. Ta, Melissa. All right, councillors, all in favour?
Aye.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Closures. 876.4.2 Hart Road closure. Mover and a seconder, please.
Recommendation.
Thank you, Peter.
Second it.
Thank you, Megan. They're in front of you, open for discussion. Any discussion? Any discussion?
Nice.
All in favour?
Aye.
Passed. Patients, none. Okay, page 80. 1.1, notice of motion, a mover and a seconder, please. Got to open up to discuss it.
Yeah, I'll move the one.
I'll second.
Johnny will second it. Okay, it's open for discussion. Any discussion?
Did Councillor Brady provide any, I know I left the briefing early, but did Councillor Brady provide any background in the briefing around the notice of motion, being that he's not with us today?
I'll ask the General Manager to answer that, Melissa.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. In response to the question, Councillor Brady mentioned that he felt that some aspects of the report that Council was provided on the condition of the building weren't accurate, and that was the basis of which he proposed the rescission motion, because he felt that it may have influenced Council's determination.
Which bits exactly, through the Mayor, General Manager?
The presence of asbestos in the building, in the kitchen and the storage rooms out the back. He stated that when the building, prior to it being utilised as a youth centre, that council spent money at that time in having asbestos removed. However, we've had the material tested in there and it's confirmed as asbestos.
So the money's still the same as the original report.
Yes.
Copy.
Thanks, Minister. Further discussion?
Can I just...
you may.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. Seeing that Councillor Brady's not with us today, and also that it's still on public notice, and that doesn't finish until, what, the 26th of April, and I don't think it's going to make any difference that we move it to the next council meeting. Well, Councillor Brady.
I'd like to pass it over to the next council meeting. Johnny, do you want to move that way?
Good. Yeah, I'll second. I can second that.
Any further discussion? Are you all happy, or do you want to continue?
Are we voting just to move it to the next council meeting, or voting
in a minute? In a minute, unless I'm just asking for the fellow council if they have any further discussion before we do so.
Can I just ask a question of the General Manager through you, Mr.
Yes, certainly.
If we were to think about keeping the building, how much money are we looking at, so the public understand how much money we will be looking at to get the building up to standard?
Approximately 12 months ago, there was a cost estimate prepared which suggested the cost to make the structural repairs that are required and remove the asbestos and reinstate the electrical wiring was in the vicinity of $237,000 from memory. And with inflation over the last 12 months, I now expect it would be over $250,000, over $250,000.
Further discussion?
True. There you go.
We should do with the motion to defer.
Just going to say that that was 12 months ago, and naturally the cost is will increase, and that's sort of thing, because really, we'd have to be a grant or something like that. There's nothing coming out of council, and waiting for a grant or something for that, or you sell it privately and let someone else try it. But then they've got to go through the process with the that department to make it happen. So, is that what? Because yours was a question, not actually, for the emotion or anything like that.
No, I just wanted, I guess, the community to understand the financial constraints that are involved in this particular project/building.
But I think what we've got to deal with
is the motion.
From the seconder. But Greg has got a comment he'd like to make before we proceed.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just further on Councillor Medcalf's comments, there is no option to subdivide the building off and sell it separately. We've investigated that path, and the lot size is too small to meet our LEP requirements. The other thing that needs to be kept in mind is Council owns over 300 buildings that we have to maintain. They also sit on our assets register and impact on the depreciation in our financial statements. A lot of those buildings are underutilised, and it's consideration needs to be given on responsible financial management of our assets, I suppose, is what I'm saying.
Thank you, Greg. Okay. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, I just want to say that I personally believe we should be making a decision today on this one way or another, but obviously with the sentiment of the room, I'm reluctantly happy enough to roll it over again for another month, but how long do we continue to roll over decisions? I think we've got to get to a stage where at some stage or other, we're going to have to make a decision on this. We just can't continually roll it over, meeting after meeting after meeting. There's got to be a finite time.
Peter, I totally agree with you. However, I think this particular time, it's very exceptional circumstances, as his mother-in-law is in a critical state of dying.
I'm not denying that at all. But
I would like to give this gentleman just a chance to defend his resolution. If anybody wants to against, that's fine. However, I'm going to put it, Johnny.
Yeah, no, just to follow up with Peter's just saying, it's still out in the public for, and I'd hate to think, there still could be something come in. That's the only reason mainly I put off, also taking Dennis's situation, but it's still out in public.
That's fine. But
I'd like to make a decision today too.
Greg has got another comment, gentlemen, ladies.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to clarify, Council has already made the decision to demolish the building, so the decision is whether or not it's going to be rescinded. And the decision that Council made was to demolish subject to the recording of the heritage aspects of the building and invitation for public submissions on the proposal. The decision to demolish has actually been made, so have to reverse that decision in order for it not to go ahead.
But technically, we can't do that. That can't be put into place until we make a decision on the rescission motion.
As John said, it's still out there in public. All right, we've had enough discussion, I think. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you to move that Johnny has put up, that we're going to bring this forward at the next month's meeting, the resolution of Dennis Brady's. Johnny moved it. Who seconded it?
Councillor Rees.
Councillor Rees. So you're.
Before we move on, I just want to make it. I just want to get it clear on the motion. So if we pass this to put it off till next month, does that rescind our motion to demolish? No. Right. Sorry. I just wanted to.
Good to go.
Yeah.
All
we're doing is just moving it, aren't we? We aren't actually deciding.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that when we do this, we're not doing, undoing what we've already done. And
it'll be brought up next month. It'll just go forward. Any further discussion?
Aye.
Thank you, Dougie. All in favour?
Aye.
Yeah.
Greg. Nothing. Page 81, we have no notice of rescission, no delegates reports. Correspondence. That?
Yep.
Page 82, councillors. 14.1, correspondence.
Recommendation.
Moved.
Thank you, Robin.
Person moved and seconded.
Melissa moved it and Robin seconded. Okay.
Oh, comments, any questions?
Yep. Any comments, any questions?
Has the Commonwealth Bank been in touch with you as per their letter, Mr. Mayor?
Pass that on to General Manager Melissa, and he will make comment.
No, there's been no further communication with the Commonwealth Bank.
Oh, they just must have forgot they said that in that letter, that they'd ring you.
Just one, Greg. Have we heard it from the gentleman down at Sydney at the Country Mayor's meeting, Read the Water?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. So the Mayor's referring to the local water utility review for small rural and regional councils. We've made our submission. The submission has been acknowledged. They've indicated that they will provide feedback on our submission by the end of May.
Oh, okay. That's a positive. And Greg sorted this gentleman out. Well, that's probably wrong use of the word. He approached this gentleman. He would have had 30, 40 minutes with this gentleman. And Greg's comment were he listened, he was very responsive, and he promised he would get back in due course, and it appears he's going to do so. I think that's well hour for half an hour, 40 minutes spent. Greg, congratulations.
Yeah, I just comment. I'd just like to say that I think Greg's been well practiced at putting this comment across, and I think that submission you put through, I think really states what the problems are out in this part of the world. And I just hope for you that we've just got to keep battling at the drum. And I can say it's well done.
Yeah, Johnny, another little comment there. He wasn't alone. There's a lot of GMs backing up behind him. I can show you. Johnny's free. Oh, right. Oh, yeah. So with no further discussion on the correspondence. Okay. Is everybody happy?
Yes.
Everybody's yeah. Happy, big. Okay, passed. 83?
Yep.
83 councillors, questions of which notice has been given. There's nil, and petitions, there's nil. Closed session.
Got it to move into.
Yep. I'll ask somebody to.
I'll move it.
Thank you, Megan.
Second.
Thank you, Peter.
I don't know, it's hard to get a task done already.
Closed session 17.1, tender assessment plan hire. Moved, Metcalf, seconded Turner. The Director of Infrastructure Service report R24-85 be received and noted. Tender rates for the plant and equipment term panel contract be accepted for all tenders received, including late tenders, subject to all insurance and registration information being provided. The General Manager be authorised to execute the contract documents. And that was moved. Yes. 17.2, supply and delivery of one new articulated motor grader. That was moved also by John Metcalf and seconded Councillor Rees. The Director of Infrastructure Service report that R24-85 be received and noted. The offer from Westrack Proprietor Limited for the supply of one new Caterpillar 15 articulated motor grader and their trade offer. for plant number 6014 Caterpillar 140M articulated motor grader be accepted. And that was moved by John and Lees. Done. Okay. 17.3 Tedman Assessment Kayaka 2 Road Flood Restoration Work. Moved by Councillor Blewett and seconded by Councillor Harris. The Director Infrastructure Service Report number R24-87 be received and noted. Council award a contract to Countrywide Proprietary Limited for T2024-03 Flood Restoration Work, Kayaka 2 Road, MR7521. Three, the Mayor and General Manager be authorised to sign the contract documents and affix the Council seal if required. Okay, 17.4, supply and delivery of one new street sweeper. And that was moved by Councillor Harris and seconded by Councillor Mortimer. The Director of Infrastructure Service Report R24-101 be received and noted. The offer from Rosemec for the supply of one new Rosemec Merlin Dash Hino FG1628 and their trade offer for fleet number 7027 option 1 be accepted. Late report. Sale of land for unpaid rates. The general manager be delegated authority to negotiate the sale of lot 5 DP752102. Further report be submitted to council on the above after on the outcome of the negotiations. And that was Councillor Mortimer and Councillor Harris second on that. And we'll now, if all acceptable, we'll close the meeting. And